Hello everyone, this is Anthony Pensa at the Love of Wisdom podcast, and today we'll be covering The Racial Contract by John Mills. Now, The Racial Contract is an interesting idea and concept that talks a lot about race and the issues and importance of race and what it is exactly that race is used in describing a contract. Now, before we begin to talk about The Racial Contract, I'd like to begin with the idea of a race, right? Idea of racism. Well, specifically, what is race? What constitutes race? Now, a lot of people know that in America or throughout the world, there's a system to which if you apply for jobs or if you do other forms of applications, you have to submit and categorize yourself according to a particular race or a particular region, right, gender, etc., a categorization of box to which you have to check or click on a mouse what it is that you identify with. Now, what's interesting is that the categories that are made, that are designed, they're designed for which individuals are made to look at that particular race. But when you think of, right, when you think of race, when you think of racism, right, when you think of all the things associated with that, what comes to mind? What's the importance of race? Why is it that in America and in the world, particularly in America, why is it that so many people are so concerned with race? Why is that? I mean, we are human beings. We think alike. We see things alike. We look different, right? Our genotype, our phenotype, the biological term for our genetics and our physical appearances are different. But what really constitutes us as different human beings. Now, The Racial Contract by Charles Mills talks about a contract, right? An idea or a belief, a contract that's associated with two individuals to where one individual, another individual come to an agreement and form in that agreement a contract to which those two people will be obligated to give whatever it is that they barter, traded, or sold initially. Now, from a contract, there's been various other contracts that have been created. For example, the social contract. Thomas Hobbes, another famous philosopher, talks about in about the 15th century. And you have another famous philosopher, John Locke, that talks about the social contract, and other famous philosophers too that I'll later get on this podcast. But when we think about a contract, in particular when we think about a racial contract, you think about what is exactly that's underlying to which people agree, right, whether intentionally or unintentionally to have. Now, when it comes to business transactions, for example, when one individual goes with another individual and they buy a thing, they barter, they trade, one sells to the other and forms a contract, whether it be written or verbal, to cause that thing. But with a racial contract, there's an underlying racial construct in which individuals see and are in subjection to that contract, right? They're in alliance to that contract. So when you think about, particularly when you think about the world, you think about the United States, and you think about Europe, there's been an underlying form of racism that's been used throughout. Perfect example is the 14th century when the slave trade had gone on from Europe all throughout the world. Europeans had gone and conquered and conquested many of the regions around us. What people don't really see and understand is that when you look at the structure, the political structure, there is a global white supremacy that's created, right? Charles Mills argues that there's that supremacy to which there's a power structure, formal or informal law, that creates, that causes from a socioeconomic privilege. And there's a distribution, he calls it a differential distribution of material wealth that's associated with European capitalism. Now, when you see and you look at a contract, right, the definition is that there's an agreement between two or more people to do something. And when you look at a social contract, there's an extension of the idea to society, of people in that society. So those individuals who are obligated to fulfill that contract live as if originally in a state of nature. A state of nature just being nature itself, being in a condition towards nature, and establishing that human beings from that state of nature come out of that state of nature. But when you see that there's a theory, this theory in particular establishes to establish a government and civil society, This is a form of popular consent that individuals take as equals to create within that society. Now, when we view that and we see the social contract, we see that there's a central Western political theory that is created between people, between everyone. In particular, in the Constitution, it mentions we the people, right? We the people, for Charles Mills, is people who are considered or count. White slave owners, white people who came from Europe, who landed in this country and developed for them what he terms as we the white people, a racial contract. Now, he says that there are various contractarians, people who formed these ideas of contracts. And he mentions those names as Thomas Hobbes, John Locke, Rousseau, and Immanuel Kant. And he mentions that what's interesting is that the society and the state that which we live in is structured, right? We have a government, we have a form of moral psychology, he says, and then he uses the non-ideal contract that's used in describing that individuals themselves are forced to explain and explore inequalities that exist as actual non-ideal polity. Polity being the distinction, right, the separation, like poles to a magnet, or the earth, or other objects in space where you have a positive and a negative charge, you have a pull, you have a separation between those things, and those things create a form of what he mentions is a logical racial denomination and structure to the polities of racial domination that structures around the West and everywhere. Racism is everywhere. You can't deny it. You see a black person down the street, or you see a white person down the street, or you see, right, an Asian or any other person, and immediately you think of race. You think of some cultural signification to which that individual causes an issue or problem. From the appearance of their skin, or from the culture, or from the beliefs and ideas that are subconsciously developed in people's minds, or even consciously developed in people's minds, create a notion that their particular race is either more superior or inferior, or some form of backlash is established to which separate races create problems. Now, when you look at this particular idea of a racial contract, what you have to consider is that this contract reveals a character in which there's a historical deficiency of normative theories and practices that have been established, in which Charles Mills talks about. And the first being is that there's an existential claim, right? There's an existential claim, and an existential claim is a claim to which talks about someone's existence, right? And his existential claim is that there's a white supremacy, local and global, that exists. And the second claim he mentions is that there's a conceptual claim that white supremacy is a political system. So you have Europeans, you have their beliefs, and then you have what they believe supreme conscious, right, subconscious, moral, psychological, intellectual, physical dominance over other races, and their supremacy creates a political system which is formed from a contract. And the third thing he mentions is there's a methodological claim as a political system that there's supremacy that illuminates a theory based on a contract between white people. Now, he mentions that for the racial contract, there's a political, moral, epistemological, which means the study of knowledge, real, economical, and exploitive contract. Seven contracts, essentially, that exist in one, to which there's the real character of the world in which we live in. There's the reality of the state of nature, and there's an underlying law and regulation to which there's a conscience, right, of self-perceived, self-conceived universal system of reality to which all human beings have been subjected to. And everywhere you look, everywhere you walk around, regardless of what you're doing, race has always been an issue when it comes to things, right? People walk down the street, you can see them physically, there's a racial tissue. When it comes to jobs, it's a racial issue. There's tension between various races, or you should say various peoples, and out of that tension, there's an established belief system that's occurred from that. There are formal and informal agreements, meta-agreements that have been established by a lot of Europeans in particular to set limitations on the members of a subset of what they mentioned, subset of human beings. You have peoples and non-peoples. And that notion will be described a little bit later, but you use the psychological, racial, right? Phenotype, genealogical, cultural criteria that I mentioned earlier. C1, C2, and C3 as white, and coextensive, and create gender differentiation. Basically, you create categories of humans. You create differentiations, different types of humans that they believe are real. So they talk about whites and non-whites. So there's already a distinction between the two. Just like in a job application when you're applying for jobs and they say, oh, what is your race? White, black, Asian, etc., right? And they even have subcategories or Asian from the Pacific Islands, Asian from the Southeast, etc. They use those distinctions to create a form of moral status, a hierarchy, a political structure to which the non-whites, right, people who are not of European ancestry, are considered a subordinate civil standing in white or white ruled polities, in which the whites already inhabit or establish a transition as aliens within the polities. And then any form of judicial law, judicial rules with these non-whites, quote unquote, is led to qualified form. So when you look at people, you see that people oftentimes are viewed, right? Like the idea of white privilege, right? People say, oh, white people are privileged. It's true, white people are privileged, me being one of them. Unfortunately, according to the way the structure is, I think that this issue is such a big issue, a problem in America, that white people especially need to look at and to consider the subordination that they have caused to other races and other people. But a lot of this is deeply psychological, and it's a world issue. White people and non-whites need to resolve this issue together in unison. But when you look at the exploitation that white people in America have caused, or even outside of America, Europeans particularly, have caused to, right, people of non-European descent, you see that a lot of their resources, their bodies, their land, are always been denied to them through the socio-economic opportunities throughout history. You can see that in society, politically, there was a contract that was established in our form of government within the American society, in which men, he claims, in a state of nature, have created social creatures that are politically obligated to a neutral state. That neutral state that's been established creates already separate polity between racial races, right? A racial polity, you should say. And similar to the metamorphosis of a cocoon to a butterfly, a human being is changed from natural man to civil political man. There is then a conceptual transformation of human populations that people use to describe that's established in our Western society to white and non-white men. Now, Mill identifies how non-whites are regulated by whites and that there is some form of a moral ladder. And the best example I can use to describe this is if you see and you look at a ladder, right? You see the economic ladder that people climb, various salaries and positions. The CEO at the top has the most amount of money, and underneath the CEO of a business, there is corporate, right? There's a corporate, and then underneath the corporate, there's various structures and the ladder, and the hierarchical system comes down. There's the lowest paid position and the highest paid position, and in between those positions, there are like levels of rungs, so, a corporate ladder to which individuals climb to gain to another position. But when you see society and when you walk around and you look at life, what do you think, you know, about your position? Like, what do you imagine and what do you think you are as an individual? How are you viewed in society? What is it exactly that makes you you? When you look at your race, when you look at your skin, when you think of your environment and individuals, what is it that creates yourself as yourself? What I mean by that? Well, let's say, for example, right? You walk down the street and you see five people, and five people of, you know, different races, right? One person could be of African descent, right? One person could be of Asian descent, whatever their descent is. You see them and you automatically think about them, right, based on the race, without even thinking. Subconsciously, your brain automatically goes through that. Then you have your psychological makeup as your brain. Now, and there's been studies that have shown that the way people see one another, they judge them immediately without even saying anything. And many people will not admit it, but there are deep racial subconscious tensions within their minds because of the way they see certain individuals from society. And a lot of that's perpetuated by the society in which we live in. And when you walk throughout society, we oftentimes don't think about how it is that we as human beings, right, how do we live and how we're described as individuals, and why is it that there are tensions? Because you have those of higher power who believe they're superior to others. You have humans and non-humans, and there's an immediate racial sub-person group. Now, there's a German word that's been described by Immanuel Kant and other philosophers, and it's called Untermenschen. Let me repeat that. Untermenschen. Untermenschen talks about people who are black, brown, red, yellow, slaves, aborigines, colonials, right, LGBTQ, etc. They're considered subject races, people who are subjectified. They're non-white, established, in which the hierarchical system is created for people to think about. And people, every person should think about, in particular when we look at race, you should think about racism. Now, a good example of racism exists in America, in the United States. And a perfect example of that is slavery. Now, slavery in the United States is an interesting topic because it first began, right, with the influx of slaves during the 14th century, even earlier. People argue late 13th, 14th century. But when slavery began, many of the slave owners who came to the United States, they used slaves, right? They subjectified races and beliefs to bring people from another country into that particular country. Slavery itself, when it was established by rich, white, Western Europeans primarily, who had come to the United States, settled in a region or a colony, brought slaves with them, built the land, and from that point, raised, right, their colonies and their regions, and spread and exploited the region and land around them, causing chaos and destruction, problems, just so that they themselves could own the land. The New World, quote unquote, was one of European exploitation, domination, right? Disease, pestilence, and an uprising and problem within the world. But given all that, and many other things that many long and basically difficult things to talk about, even for me, to describe the whole context, slavery itself was used as a way to treat individuals as subhuman, right? And that idea of being subhuman came from even in our documents, from the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution, to the Articles of Confederation, and many other documents that are used in our country. Now, as Americans and citizens of planet Earth, we should see how there's a racial contract that's affected our lives. Now, Europeans have colonized, dominated, and annihilated the world on a grand scale. Our economic, political, and cultural domination of the planet was committed by Europeans and their ancestors. Now, I know people argue with me and say, oh no, that's not true. What about Africans? What about other countries? What about other problems? Well, the big issue with that is that European exploitation has really destroyed and dominated much of what we know to the world to be. Europeans are in so many aspects of the world, all throughout the world, and because of their conquest, because of their exploitation and their domineering nature, right? Because of their belief systems, their culture, their psychology, a whole other notion of reality in which they believed, their beliefs, other countries and other peoples have suffered tremendously. Now, I know that there are cases of African slave owners, particular Africans that are selling Africans to Europeans, and the African slave owners, the tribesmen that had sold the African slaves to the Europeans for cash, right? Throughout history and throughout even other regions. That's not talked about. Even the African American slave owners who've owned African American slaves and the white slaves throughout the world. But there's a deep Anglo-American political philosophy that is hegemonic, provincial, and ahistorical, and those events are evident throughout European history. Now, even John Locke, right, famous political philosopher, government body, politician, you can argue, well, not politician, but government, founding fathers, Federalists, one of the writers of the Federalist Papers, He developed his own state of nature, his own belief, and his own philosophy of that individuals are in a state of nature in which they follow what he calls a natural law. And the natural law is established through the safety of private property. Now, when you see that, when you think about that, it's important to realize that there's an idea of race that's associated with that. And the founding fathers were all white by a majority. There are a few that were black that are not spoken of. But when you consider itself America and other issues, racism has always been an issue in the United States since its inception and end in 1855.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.